Armsister or something. Sister Sally Wood is here, and she's going to ask me a few questions about my favorite spot, Loretta, and how we became associated with the Franciscan Fathers there. That goes way back. Far enough, I think, when we first came to Evansburg, they told a story about one of the priests carrying a sack of potatoes from Loretta over to Evansburg so the sisters wouldn't starve. However, that was very early. Father Bishop Adrian and Father Francis Flanagan, Lord have mercy on him, then organized a plan to have our sisters come to St. Francis College to get their education. And it seemed to work out very smoothly. The bishop was then the president of the college, and Father Francis Flanagan was the secretary. We had 29 sisters there going to the college. It was an ideal place for a summer resort, if you want to call it that, and also they had classes in the morning. They had access to the library in the afternoon, and they were permitted to go over to Mount Assisi, which is across the highway, to browse around the beautiful campus they had over there. It was close to Loretta. By that I mean the sisters, the Carmelite sisters in Loretta, who were up the path a bit, and then they would go cross and be there for benediction, then walk back to our place. It was like a combination of a summer resort and an educational program at the same time.
When did the sisters first start going to school during the winter?
They started to go to school in the beginning about 19, I would say the spring of 49 and of 50. I think Sister Helen Doherty, who is here at the Academy at the present time, oh no, she's in Ellicottville now, that's right, she's moved over there. But I think she and Sister Mary Audrey were the two of the first ones up there to attend classes there. They found that to be a very wonderful place to not only to get their education, but also then to move into a retreat program.
Who were some of the sisters involved in initiating our going up there?
Mother Mary Grace, and then she sent me to try to pull things together up there. And some of the sisters who went to school were Sister, at that time, Sister Mary Blaze, who is now Helen Doherty, and Sister Ernestine, Sister Mary Audrey. And we have pictures in the archivium, which I could show you, of the sisters that we had. We were great picture takers because it was such a beautiful spot. We had pictures taken down the grotto. We had pictures taken over at the shrine. And we walked, after dinner every evening, we walked from Jealous Hall, where we ate our meals, down to the shrine and said the rosary on our way. And then on our way back, we stopped at the Ave Maria. That was a seminary at the time, where the priest stayed. And we had a beautiful statue of our Blessed Mother, and we stopped and said a prayer there, and then came on down the path and had recreation as we were coming along.
You said Mother Mary Grace sent you to pull things together. What does that mean?
Well, that meant the priests had asked Bishop Adrian, and Father Francis Flanagan had asked her if our sisters could do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then she sent for me and asked me if I would go to... She told me what they wanted, and then she turned around and looked at me and she said, "You're it."
What was it they wanted?
They wanted somebody to organize that program and make sure that the sisters had enough to eat, because there were 29 of them. We'd make sure they had two sisters that could cook. If they couldn't cook when they came, they did when they were. They knew how to cook before they left.
Did they start just during the summer?
Yes. They some of the sisters lived in Gallitzin. I think the, it runs in my mind, I would have to look that up, I'm not quite sure. They started in the summer, I think, because they, they're school sisters. And see, they couldn't be there in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like Charlotte, Sister Charlotte, Sister Mary Audrey, Helen Doherty, those people, and they're all school teachers. So it was a summer program.
Did they ever go to school during the winter months?
Sister Dale taught up there.
We didn't have students during the winter months?
Sister Bernice taught up there also. Bernice Clark. I'm trying to think. I don't remember. I don't recall sisters being there. Because they would have to, they lived in Gallitzin and came over, and that makes me think that would be a bad trip in the wintertime. See, it was more a summer program.
What were some of the advantages for either the college or the TOR fathers of our being there?
Well, they told us that we were an asset to their college program. They were always happy when the sisters came, because they were a good influence for the students who were attending classes up there.
Did the sisters associate much with the students when they were there?
Oh yeah, a very friendly relationship there. Mm-hmm. Among the, there were priests and brothers and sisters from other communities who commuted from Johnstown or Altoona or wherever their convent was, and a very nice relationship.
What were some of the advantages for our community?
Well, they always say, "Loretta, look at her face about me, you know. She loves it up there." And I said, "Not only she loves it up there, everybody that goes up there to school likes it. And the people who make retreat up there like it." I said, "It's... I used to tell the Mother Superior, God grew up right out of the ground, like the grass does."
What difference did it make in the education of our sisters?
Well, I think it was more, it was easier for them to attend classes up there, because they didn't have to board a streetcar or a bus and go up to Duquesne or to Carlo, you know, that sort of thing. In the summertime, that was a little chore up that Duquesne Hill. And so when you're right on the campus, and all you have to do is just get up and say your prayers, make your meditation, and eat your breakfast, and off to school. Then they were finished, and they were free to... they had a swimming pool there. We didn't go in the swimming pool, but they had a swimming pool. They used to walk down as far as a swimming pool because they had ducks down there. And the ducks would follow them, and then they got to using up all the scraps of bread we had to feed the ducks. And the ducks would come quack, 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 quack up over the hill as soon as they saw the sisters, because they knew they had bread for them.
How did the
Tertian
program get started?
The Tertian program got started. They were there for education first. And then it became a program for retreat. And I asked the Mother Superior at the time if she didn't think we could have what I called a tertian program up there, which would be a month. Now, I know the first person I can think of right off the bat was the first tertian in the first tertian program as president of Sister Ursula. She is presently Marge Berry's assistant. And that program, I should do a little bit of searching on that and make sure those dates are right. But I know the tertian program started as an outcome of that. And the sisters were going to school, and then the tertian program followed that. And then the retreat program came in there, too. So sometime I'll get you better material, more concrete facts about that, and we could put it on the table.
All right. Why did you make a change from the program of having sister students to sister tertian?
I wait a minute. I have to stop and think about that. Because it was going, they were going to the sister. Oh, I know. Sisters graduated from Duquesne or Carlo. Then it got to be like a community practice, as it were. But as soon as you graduated, you were sent to Loretta, per se, and. They knew that's where they were going, whether they wanted to come up there or not. And so I asked Mother if we couldn't start what we called a tertian program up there, which would be just people who are making the tertian program, and not have them jump into, have a graduation, then jump into some kind of a retreat program immediately when they were not ready for it or didn't want it. And she said, well, yes, we could do that. So that's how the tertian program originated. And then, see, we started the education program around 1950, and this is 1980. Now, we are not having a program up there this year, primarily because Father said the atmosphere on the campus up there, because of the influx of students, there are students going to school above us, sleeping in the dormitory above us, you know, talking all hours of the night, and then sleeping in the adjoining dormitory, and you could hear them like at 2 o'clock in the morning and so on. He suggested that we would draw from that program until we could make a better arrangement of some sort. That's why we're not going up this summer. And I think it was a very wise decision Father Patrick Donahue did. And I think it was well thought out.
How did the change come from the tertian program to the retreat program?
The retreat program was a week. The tertian program was a month. And I felt if they wanted to make a retreat up there, then we would send out certain dates that we were going to be there. If they wanted to make a retreat, they opted in. We did not send them. And the tertian program was previous to that, you see, was a 30-day affair. And I felt that it was the best results could be achieved by doing it if they wished to come.
What about the buildings that the sisters used? The first one.
They used them. See, they have St. Agnes, St. Clair, St. Elizabeth, those are all dormitory halls. Mm-hmm. And St. Elizabeth, I guess, was one of the more recent ones. And then, not now though, then I mean 19, when we started that program in 1950, we were down what they called Giles Hall. And that was right next to the graveyard there. And they called it Giles Hall after Father Giles. And there were 29 sisters in this little house. And happy as larks. Bunk beds, you know, three in a room. One set of bunk beds and one single bed. And everybody quite happy. We didn't have any growlers. I don't know why we never brought any growlers up there. If there are such people.
What about the second place? Wasn't that John Vianney?
John Vianney. That was up on the hill as you turn from the highway to come down into San Francisco College. Yes. But there were never 29 in that house.
Well, that was smaller.
Yeah, that's much smaller. And like I said, they chose to be there if they were going to go to school or if they wanted to make that program, that retreat program.
They could choose to be up there for school, too?
If they were studying, like Sister Adele was a teacher there, and if they wanted to take some subject, like Sister Anne Florence was a teacher up there, Tarsicius was a teacher up there, and see if they knew that this theology course or this English course or this whatever it might be, mathematics course, was being given, then they would opt into that.
What was the ordinary schedule like for the tertians?
Pretty much a relaxed schedule. It runs on my mind that we had breakfast ready, and they got up and came down and had their breakfast, and then we had a conference, I'll say 11 o'clock, and then they had lunch. And they were permitted to talk at their meals. And Father Augustine Dunnigan was usually the tertian master. And then he would stay for lunch or brunch or whatever you want to call it, and continue maybe what he started to talk about at the homily. Because people would ask him questions. And? The afternoon. It was a relaxed afternoon. They went to walks. They went to take an extra snooze if they wanted. They studied. Their classes were heavy. By heavy, I mean some of the teachers were rather stiff, you know, really demanding. They'd go up to the library. And then around 4 o'clock, they would go for a walk over in the gardens and then end up over at the Carmelite Monastery where they had benediction at 4 o'clock and then walk back the back road and have a little recreation coming down there. Then we went to dinner over at Torgon Hall. We ate our main meal in Torgon Hall.
Was that when there were students that you ate at Torgon Hall?
Let me see. I'm not sure when we started to eat at Torgon Hall, but it was a step in the right direction because the meal was prepared. We didn't have to take the food up there.
Mm-hmm.
When we first went up there, they had a deep freeze. And then an ice box, which was given to us by the Field Test Ice Cream Company as a result of our purchasing ice cream from them. So the And it's still in good condition. And some person just recently asked me if they could buy it when they knew we weren't going up there this summer. So could we buy that?
I mean, our community owns that, and it's up at the
It was given to us. Seal Test Ice Cream Company gave it to the sisters for purchasing ice, just because we purchased the ice cream from them, you know. And they said, well, this deep freeze, well, you can have it.
Where is it now?
At the present time, it is in, it's on the campus at Loretta in St. Elizabeth basement, and one person up there is going to purchase it. And the man who manages Torgan Hall, that's their cafeteria, is going to purchase the icebox.
Mm.
So that relieved us of that little situation. Has to haul that down here. It would take a mammoth truck, and it's as heavy as lead. So.
When you first went up to Loretto in 49 or 50, what did it look like then?
Beautiful campus. Mother Mary Grace sent me up there, she said, they have a big house up there, and they're going to give it to us to use as a summer resort for our sisters who are going to school. Great big house. And I went up there, and I saw this house. You know, I pictured it to be a great big old farmhouse thing. Well, it wasn't. It was just a student's residence, you know. Three floors, of course. So we had many good times there. We ate in the basement.
Did the TORs not have use for it anymore?
Use for it?
For Giles Hall?
Well, see, they're the ones, the bishop and Father Flanagan, are the ones who asked us to come there. They had to make sure they had a place for us before we came.
Okay, I don't have specific other questions. Do you have other things you'd like to add?
Well, I could talk and talk and talk about Loretta.
Go ahead, do it. Really?
Yeah. It's a garden spot in the Alleghenies, I'll tell you. People come there from all over the country to visit their shrines, you know. They have different shrines on different parts of the campus. And it's not just a picnic ground. You'd be surprised at the people who come there just to visit the shrine. You know, the Fatima Shrine, for instance, that's well patronized. And they have it done up just to a T. There's a priest has charge of that now. And Father Atkinson, a friend of our sister's, has charge of the grounds. You can see him all hours of the day and night cutting the grass on his knees, you know, trimming off the bushes. And so it's just his heart. He just loves it. And it's a dream there was a minor interruption. I might expect a big house like this.
Saying something about the dream.
Loretta? Well, I think, when Charlie Schwab had that place, he had all kinds of help. I know our sister St. James and Sister Clement, brother, worked up there. You wouldn't dare pick a violet.
When Charlie Schwab was still alive?
Mm-hmm. That, yes. You could walk through those gardens with a guard, but you were not allowed to touch a flower.
And who were the sisters who worked up there?
Sisters Sister St. James and Sister Clement were our sisters,
uh-huh.
and they were, it was their brother who worked there. And so we worked into the, all of these things dovetail into the program.
Are there other things about our association with the Red Oak of St. Francis College or the TNY that you want to
have? Well, the present bishop down in Borba, you know, was the president of the college. I think I told you that. And then his assistant was Father Francis Flanagan. And they were the two instigators of our going to Loretta.
Are there other priests that were somehow involved in our being there?
Father Paul.
Paul Weigel.
Paul Weigel, that's Sister Frederick's brother. You know, I mean, he is charged the building fund program. And he was always there with his hand out welcoming us and was very good to us. It wouldn't be like, for example, when I say good to us, he would go down to a friend of his at a farm about 10 miles from there and bring us a whole crate of freshly picked strawberries at this time of the year, as big as a half a dollar, you know. And those kinds of things. Tomatoes. All kinds of things. Then we owe a great debt of gratitude to Marge Cronar, who is the secretary to Father Paul. She was our, and still is, our right-hand buyer up there. If you want to know anything or if you need anything, as soon as she sees the program for the summer, she called me just about a week or two ago to ask me when the sisters were coming up and what, if she could do anything. And, I mean, they have that real honest goodness interest in her. Dot Cronar is, they are not sisters. I think they're far away cousins. And people think they're sisters and they are not. Dot lives in Glisson and Marge lives in Loretta. That makes a difference in one way. But they're very good friends, of course, and have made themselves very, very good friends with the sisters. They even think that you want a loaf of bread, or they think you want an ice cream for supper, to happen.
Is there anything else?